Great work. Thank you for your time today and all the work you're doing for the Picot Center. So stay in touch with us with any updates you want to share, and we'll blast them for you. So stay well.
All right. Thank you.
Yes. Have a good night. Take care. Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous in the News and supporting us and our entrepreneurs. Indigenous in the News has been produced by Larry Kay. Our engineer is Paul Salvatore. Our theme music is composed by Lenny Long. Today's show has been recorded at the Two Buffalo Studios in Bradenton, Florida. If you'd like to support our program, you can stop by to donate on our homepage at indigenousinthenews.org. You can also find all of our past shows now on Spotify at iHeartRadio. Music today was from Koo Eek from Seattle, and that tune was Ocean Child I Am. Until next time, from all of us here at Indigenous in the News, have yourself a great week and safe journeys. Indigenous in the News is a production of Indigenous in Music and Arts.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found at our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held. At KBOO, we accept many kinds of vehicle donations. We accept fuzzy vans, broken cars, zippy scooters, seaworthy boats, well-worn farm equipment, family-sized SUVs, old jet skis, and more. If your vehicle has a clean title, we can take it as a donation. If your vehicle isn't working, we can work with that too. Call our car donation experts at the Center for Car Donations to find out more information, ask questions, and support KBOO. Call 877-KBOO-123. That's 877-526-6123, or go to our website, kboo.fm/vehicle.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio, of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm your host, Stephen Siegel. Rachel is not with us tonight. Broadcasting around the world from Portland, Oregon. I am a public school teacher. Rachel and I host every second Monday of the month. Typically, we interview educators and talk about what's going on in their schools and what's going on in their unions. And joining us today, we've got Adrienne Mitchell. Welcome, Adrienne.
Thank you. It's great to have a chance to talk with you, Stephen.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here and to learn more about what's going on. So would you start by telling our listeners what and where you teach, and maybe also, what do you enjoy most about that work?
Sure. I'm a faculty member at Lane Community College, where I teach basic writing. And I really love all of the work that I'm able to do with students. A lot of the students who I'm working with are just beginning their higher education, and they may have goals of going into career technical programs, such as the trades or health professions, or they may be preparing to transfer to a four-year university. And I'm fortunate enough to see them very early in their time at the community college. And so probably I would say one of the things that I really love the most is just seeing the shift in students as they begin to really start to feel confident and feel that they belong and have kind of a path forward for their future. Many of the students I'm working with come from marginalized communities and may not have envisioned the opportunity for higher education, and just really having that opportunity to work with students who are making that transition to start building a different future for themselves. So it's really, really, really exciting.
And so, do you have students that really don't like to write?
I do have students who really don't like to write. I also have students who have really amazing talents in writing, but have not yet discovered how amazing their talents are. And so that's kind of the piece that I find most inspiring.
Gotcha. And you're also involved with your union. So, what hats do you wear in that capacity?
Sure. I serve as the president of LCCEA, which is the Lane Community College Education Association. And we're the faculty union that represents all of the part-time and full-time faculty at Lane Community College.
And how long have you been involved with your union?
I've been involved for really a very long time in a lot of different roles. I'm starting my 7th year in the role of president, but I've been involved in bargaining and other roles for longer than that, and really enjoy working together with all of my colleagues, working in solidarity, and really having a vision for a future that we're trying to create for our students, in order to ensure that that we can advocate for social justice both on campus and off.
Sure. Well, tell us a little bit more about your union and its members. I would say the majority of the time here on the show, we interview folks from the K-12 school system, and it's rare to have somebody from community college. So, tell us about your union and the members.
Sure. So we are about 500 faculty, and about 200 of our faculty members are full-time faculty, and about 300 are part-time faculty. We are all of the instructors, counselors, librarians, athletic coaches, the athletic trainer, and curriculum and instructional design specialists at Lane Community College.
And so I imagine that some of your members, especially maybe your part-time faculty, are really just kind of struggling to get by.
Yes, that is certainly the case. So in higher education, especially in community colleges across the nation, we do have this challenging issue of a two-tiered system. So essentially, part-time faculty do not have the same salary schedule nor the same benefits as full-time faculty. And part-time faculty also have term-by-term employment. So essentially, every 3 months, a part-time faculty member is finding out whether or not they have work the next term. So that is one of the central issues that we have been over the past, well, more than 10 years trying to address. both at LCC through LCCEA in our bargaining, as well as at the state level out Oregon in the legislature. But this does really have an impact not only on the faculty but also on our students. Many of our part-time faculty have to juggle multiple jobs in order to make ends meet. And according to our last all-faculty survey, 39% of our part-time faculty reported having relied on government assistance while working as a faculty member at LCC.
Well, you did mention bargaining, and that's why I was excited to have you on the show. You've been bargaining for a while now. Maybe tell us for how long, and then get into some of your demands.
Sure. We have been bargaining since March, and our contract expired on June 30th. So we've been at this for a while, but have made very little progress at all. There's been just really a lot of delays. The college administration has hired an outside attorney to do all of the negotiation, which is really slowing things down. And we're also seeing things like what appear to be possibly intentional delays, where, for example, the administration says that they are not available for a 4-week period this fall, nearly a month when they're not available to do any bargaining. So that's very concerning. But in terms of kind of what we're asking for at the bargaining table, we're really trying to center student needs. And so we have a lot of proposals that seek to increase and ensure that we have enough tutors, advisors, counselors, mental health clinicians for students. We have, a whole host of proposals that we put into the category of furthering the common good on our campus. One example is some provisions that we're seeking about creating a more safe environment in the event of a lockdown. We did have a lockdown on our campus in February of 2023, and it really laid bare that, we really need better preparation, both in terms of training, but also in terms of our physical spaces and ensuring that everyone on our campus is safe. We were really lucky that that was a false alarm when that lockdown took place. But we really want to be prepared so that everyone knows what to do and that we have, things like locks on classroom doors so that people will be safe. And what we're asking for, we think, is reasonable and also, in fact, very much aligned with the memo that the college's own attorney wrote after that lockdown took place about what was necessary, what changes needed to be made. We're also making some proposals regarding ensuring that faculty have kind of the basic necessities that we need for working with students, things like up-to-date computer hardware and software in the classrooms. And we are also asking for campus sanctuary provisions, where we think that it's very important to ensure that our students, all of our students, are safe on our campus. And we did do a series of forums with student groups, including our student government, MECHA, and a variety of student organizations, as we were kind of coming together to try to determine what we would include in our bargaining platform. And then we had faculty surveys and an endorsement vote where 99% of faculty respondents voted yes to adopt all of these goals, which include really supporting students, the student services piece, as well as supporting student basic needs.
99%. Can't get much better than
Yes.
that.
Yes, faculty feel very strongly about some of the issues that we're bargaining over, and really feel that these are aligned with ensuring that our students have the conditions that they need to be successful.
Gotcha. And to backtrack a little bit, you mentioned that they had hired an outside attorney. Is that different from what they normally do? And I'm also curious, how are they paying for that attorney? I hope they're not paying for that with, tuition money.
So that's a really great question. So yes, it's a new thing. We have not typically had an outside attorney hired by the college for their negotiations. And that is really a big concern for us. It's part of this, pattern that we are seeing with the recent changeover in LCC administration, where they're spending really significant amounts of money on outside attorneys. They've contracted with at least six different outside attorneys over the past 3 years. And that includes one who is in Wisconsin, who they have flown to Oregon to represent them, and who's not admitted to the Oregon bar. And these legal fees, they're coming out of our general fund dollars at the college. So it's all public money. It's coming from state funding, it's coming from property tax and student tuition. And it's approaching, if it has not already exceeded, $1 million on attorney fees. The last time we received official information from the administration, it was over $800,000, and that was back in June. So based on all of the legal activity and the multiple attorneys they've contracted with, it seems highly likely that it's at or exceeding $1 million by now.
Wow. Okay. So some of my tax dollars are going to pay the college to pay an attorney to basically stall and drag out and make these negotiations difficult. Good to know. If you're just joining us, you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Labor Radio. Unlike corporate media, KBOO is commercial free and relies on you, the listener, to function and survive on the air as a community radio station. So please, if you're able, go to kboo.fm/give to make a one-time donation, or better yet, become a monthly donor. So you've talked about this attorney and sort of dragging things on, but what else can you say about how the board has responded and what sorts of proposals are they making?
Great question. We're extremely concerned about the proposals. We really find them to be incredibly alarming. And in fact, this kind of the landscape we're seeing at Lane Community College really very closely mirrors what we see happening at the level of the federal government. So we do believe that we're experiencing a crisis of democracy, both in the boardroom with the Board of Education, as well as at the bargaining table. So, kind of in the boardroom, how that is playing out, the LCC administration is seeking to remove the authority of our publicly elected Board of Education. So, one example of that I'll just mention briefly is that the administration quietly decided to put the licensed practical nurse program on hiatus for this year. And so students who had applied found out suddenly at the end of May that the program was not going to be offered after they had invested time and money in all of the prerequisites necessary for this program, which is highly competitive and has a 100% success rate, and helps serve the healthcare workforce needs in our local community. And the Board of Education was not only not involved in making that decision, that never even came to the Board of Education at any open meeting for them to have a discussion before the decision was made. So that's kind of this overarching concern we have about the crisis of democracy happening at our Board of Education, where the publicly elected officials are not being able to vote and to represent the people of Lane County. And then how that's playing out in the bargaining proposals is also equally alarming. So some of the proposals that the administration is making really would dramatically negatively impact conditions on campus, both for faculty and for students. So, for example, the administration is proposing to implement mandatory overloads for full-time faculty. So all faculty virtually all full-time faculty would be required to work more than full-time. And unlike hourly workers, where overtime is, time and a half, our overload rate is actually less than our regular rate. And these mandatory overloads would not even be fully paid at that less than regular rate. The impacts of this would be that part-time faculty would then have a lot of job cuts because full-time faculty would be required to teach these mandatory overloads, and then there would be less work available for part-time faculty. In addition to that, the administration is proposing to increase class sizes by 50%, which would significantly reduce the amount of time that we're able to dedicate to providing attention to our students in our classrooms, in our labs, in the shops, in the trades. So we're very concerned about those impacts on students. And then some of the additional proposals really do mirror what we see happening in the legislatures in red states and in Project 2025. So, for example, the administration is proposing to slash job security by allowing full-time faculty positions to be convert contingent work. And in higher education, permanent positions are really tied to job security and academic freedom. It's kind of foundational to our system of higher education. And at the same time, they're proposing that part-time faculty would be subject to removal from their already precarious, underpaid jobs for exercising their inherent rights. And what are their inherent rights? These are their rights to non-discrimination, privacy, free expression of divergent viewpoints, academic freedom, union activity, and participation in civic life outside of LCC, free from institutional censorship.
Wow.
So you can really see how taken together these kinds of proposals are, well, we think they're quite dangerous, quite frankly.
Extremely dangerous. Cramming students into classrooms, working more hours, and making your job security much less secure, so that then it's an issue becomes. You're much less protected, right? If you say something that's deemed to be controversial by somebody, right? Somebody decides that they're offended by something, they can come after your job.
Right, exactly.
Well, my next question was going to be, why is it important to fight against these? But I think it's kind of obvious, right? Especially in lieu of what's happening just at the federal level, with all the attacks on academic freedom and free speech going on there, seems pretty obvious. And then you throw in class sizes and then the working more hours, that's new to me. I don't think I had, I think that hadn't really registered for me before. So that's interesting too.
There are, some
Go
more.
ahead.
Yeah, there are some more examples that are very concerning. that I think are worth highlighting. The administration is also proposing things that would directly make cuts to existing services, as well as opportunities that we have that really help our broader student body. So, for example, they are proposing to cut the language in our contract that ensures that students have access to the campus health clinic. They are also proposing to remove the obligation to maintain the Native American Student Association coordinator and Longhouse steward as two distinct positions. And they wish to cut funding for curriculum that meets the needs of marginalized communities. At the same time, we're proposing adding immigration status to our non-discrimination clause, and so far, the administration has not agreed to that, even though we are a sanctuary state here in Oregon.
Okay, so it really seems like this is beyond just cost-saving measures. I mean, some of it they could try to justify as well. We need to save money given, shortages of funding, but this seems like it goes well beyond that. I'm curious, how have you been responding to all of these really attacks on our public education system, specifically Lane Community College? What have you been doing to this point? What steps have you been taking? What are some of the tactics that you've utilized?
Yes, so we're just right now really experiencing a groundswell of faculty participation in a lot of our different organizing activities. So we have been holding rallies and actions at our Board of Education meetings. We held a really large rally in March, another one in June, one in the beginning of September, and we have our largest rally planned for November 5th. And we're really trying to highlight and get the word out to the public and to the community about what's going on, because we think that this is not just about wages and salaries and benefits and all of those kinds of issues, that really the changes that the LCC administration is seeking would dramatically undermine the future of Lane Community College. And we think that it's critically important for higher education to maintain kind of the vibrant exchange of ideas that we have, that is really the place and the space for students to learn and to engage in deep learning with that freedom of expression as a catalyst for systemic change for the common good, and the connection between social movements and higher education and really kind of the foundations of our democracy, we feel are at stake in this bargaining. So our main focus right now is really getting the word out to the community, as well as doing a lot of internal member organizing and building support and coalitions with many of the local labor unions. For example, Lane County Education Workers is a coalition that formed a few years ago that includes all of our educators from pre-K all the way through the university level in Lane County, and just building support for each other and building solidarity with our local labor unions that are outside of education as well.
Great. Well, last weekend I had the privilege and honor to join your march and rally. It was after an OEA event. So, what sort of impact do you think that that had?
It was just really so wonderful to be together with so many community members and students and educators from throughout the state. So many of our members were inspired by the support and the solidarity, and I think it has really helped all of our members feel supported and that we're not alone in this struggle, that we have, that we share a common struggle, that as a labor movement, we have a critical role working all together in this national landscape to really hold firm on our democracy, and that we do together in solidarity have power.
Great. Well, we are running out of time. Can you just quickly tell us, do you have something planned next? I heard you mention something in November. What are you planning? How can listeners support you?
Yes, we're going to be having a big rally and action at our next Board of Education meeting on November 5th. And so everyone is invited to the LCC campus beginning at 4:30 p.m. on November 5th. We will have food, speakers, and then the opportunity to march over to the Board of Education room, and everyone is invited to participate.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Adrienne. It's been a pleasure, and I wish you all well in this fight. It's a super important fight to be having right now. And I want to thank you.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank you, audience, for tuning in tonight. This is Stephen Siegel. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 o'clock to catch another Labor Radio show.
This is KBOO Portland.
Hello, dear listeners. Oil for Kisses is a monthly program on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland, that highlights the headier and weirder sides of underground metal, post-punk, DIY hardcore, and beyond. Every month features a different theme where we